This is Laura Deirdre with Becker's Behavioral Health Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Joanne Horvath, Chief Financial Officer of Rogers Behavioral Health. Joanne, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Now, I know we've got a lot to talk about, but before we dive into our discussion, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your career?
Sure. Right now, I serve as CFO for Rogers Behavioral Health here in Wisconsin. I've lived in Wisconsin my entire life. I'm proud to call it home. My husband and I hike trails here all year round and find it a beautiful place to live and raise our family. I started my career in healthcare about 25 years ago, working for an integrated health system here in Wisconsin, and throughout the last 25 years worked at several health systems here in this state, including large national healthcare organizations, incorporating many mergers and acquisitions along the way. I began my role here at CFO at Rogers about 6 months ago.
Got it. That's great to hear. And, you know, what an incredible time to start a new role at Rogers Behavioral Health. Can you tell us a little bit more about the organization and what really drove you to this new role?
Sure. Rogers Behavioral Health is a nonprofit provider of specialized mental health and addiction treatment services. And our home base is here in Wisconsin, but we have locations in 9 states across the country. Rogers is actually one of the largest behavioral health care providers in the United States, serving about 1,500 patients per day. We have 4 different levels of care here. We have inpatient acute care, residential services, partial hospitalization, and intensive outpatient services. We serve various conditions, including addiction recovery, OCD, anxiety, eating disorders, depression, and trauma. And we also serve both adult populations as well as children and adolescent programs. What makes Rogers stand apart from our competitors is that Rogers' standardized treatment includes protocols and treatment manuals for each service line we treat. We train all of our managers to those protocols, which greatly reduces outcome variation for our patients. In 2020, Rogers actually opened the Rogers Research Center that has established the foundation for a robust long-term program of research across all our service lines and locations. What attracted me to Rogers is really their mission of helping individuals across the country for care. They have a phenomenal culture here, and I really believe in how they lead the organization as well as how we treat our patients.
Got it. That's great to hear. And really some very important issues you raised in terms of making sure that, you know, the organization really is such a great service for your community and in treating team members and patients with respect and making sure that you're very much focused on the care that they need. Now, what trends are you watching in the behavioral health space?
Right. So COVID has really changed many aspects of healthcare and how it's delivered across the country, including behavioral health. I'm most interested to see how virtual care will evolve to support behavioral health in the future. Rogers was actually able to serve more patients during the pandemic in rural areas or in circumstances where they were not able to drive to one of our locations. That access to care was eliminated when things returned to pre-COVID regulations. So I'm watching payers' response to payment for virtual care, as well as state requirements on payment parity. Rogers has invested heavily in their programs to support positive outcomes. This investment is equally made for patients who choose to use us in person or those who prefer virtual services. I'm also watching changes in regulation to allow providers the ability to access patients across state lines, making it easier for patients to receive our quality care.
Got it. That's really exciting to hear. And, you know, just so interesting from the payer perspective. I know that's something that pretty much all specialties are looking at and trying to figure out how they can continue some of these virtual care services as the policies from the pandemic are being rolled back. What do you see for that in the future? How do you really see that playing out over the next 2 to 3 years or so?
I think most payers are going to see that there's a value to virtual care and telehealth across certain service lines. And certainly for behavioral health, and they will see it as a more efficient and cost-effective way to provide care to our patients, as well as to improve access to care to patients. So I really do think that both state regulations and our payers will be supportive in the future.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense, and it's good to hear. Now, I know one of the other big challenges in behavioral health, but across healthcare, is really looking at shortages, whether it's staffing shortages or shortages of behavioral health specialists, especially as the need and demand for these services is on the rise. So how should we really deal with some of those shortages of behavioral health specialists?
Right. And really, it is across the spectrum of healthcare, and behavioral health is no different. We're struggling in the same way as any other healthcare provider in obtaining adequate staffing in order to support our patients. Here at Rogers, we have a strong belief in investing in our team, starting with our recruitment process, as well as our ongoing support post-hire. So we have increased our visibility to candidates through college-level internships, graduate school practicums, and postdoc experiences. And we have also focused on retention through benefit programs, supporting continuing education, as well as a tiered therapist career track to encourage therapists to make Rogers their choice for long-term working relationships. Here at Rogers, you know, professionals such as therapists are respected and recognized for their commitment to providing safe, quality care to our patients. You know, healthcare as an industry needs to recognize therapists in the same manner as other healthcare providers through reduction in the stigma of mental health and recognition to those who decide to serve in it.
Got it. I think that is so important and really great to hear as you kind of build up the workforce and think about what's happening in the future. Now, what are you most focused on today and really excited about?
I think what really excites me is, you know, even though COVID has created a lot of challenges across the country and the world, and it has actually increased some of the demand for behavioral health, that increased need has resulted in a reduction in that stigma for individuals in search of care. So I'm excited for a day when behavioral health becomes simply one additional component of our overall health for each and every one of us.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point. And, you know, it's one of those silver linings that has come out of the past few years in terms of making it more of an open conversation. And as you mentioned, destigmatizing a lot of the what comes with seeking behavioral health services. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, I really wanted to ask, what advice would you give to emerging leaders today?
So I think it's interesting that you use the word emerging, because I think as leaders, we never stop learning until it's over. And then we look back at all the things we learned along the entire spectrum of our career to become a good leader. But to me, you know, right now, today, if I had to give advice to an emerging leader, I would say leadership is never about the leader, but about those the leader serves. And that a good leader must be humble, be thankful, be innovative, be courageous, and most certainly in these times, be ready for whatever comes next, because change is inevitable.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point. Joanne, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you.